In this episode, I'm going to teach you how to spice things up in the bedroom in 8 steps. Welcome to the Dr. Wyatt Show, where developing a long-lasting, happy relationship is the status symbol to achieve, and following my tools is one path to help get you there. I'm your host, Dr. Wyatt Fisher, a licensed psychologist specializing in couples counseling. Be sure to call my number, 303-578-0618, 24/7, and leave a voicemail with your marriage question. Then I'll respond back to it on the next Tuesday episode. Also, be sure to follow me on social at Dr. Wyatt Fisher. So today we're talking about how to spice things up in the bedroom. Why are we talking about this? It's because a lot of couples have problems in the bedroom. They get bored, or the bedroom doesn't happen at all. They get stuck. They get at an impasse. One partner loses interest. There's a difference in libido. There's all sorts of issues that happen in the bedroom. And a lot of couples need help with how to improve things in the bedroom. So I'm going to go through 8 steps on how to spice things up in your bedroom. Number one is you have to establish the base of the pyramid. So I teach something called the wedding cake model, and it's a pyramid. And what it shows is that at the very top of the pyramid is sexual intimacy. And a lot of couples make the mistake of starting there, thinking, oh, we need to just have more intimacy. We need to just wear sexier underwear. We just need to play some sexy games. That's usually not the solution, because the rest of the pyramid is not in place. So if you want better intimacy, which is at the top of the pyramid, you have to start at the base of the pyramid. And the base of the pyramid is resolving your resentments. It's hard to have intimacy with someone you resent. So if you want better action in the bedroom, you have to start by resolving your resentments. Have you done that? Have you asked your partner, do you have resentments toward me? If you have resentments toward them, or they have resentments toward you, that's going to kill the bedroom. So establishing the base includes working through your resentments. Then the next tier up is rebuilding your friendship. That includes cultivating emotional intimacy. That includes going on dates. That includes having quality time together. That includes affection. Are you doing that? Are you building the friendship? Because it's hard to be intimate with someone you're not even friends with. So that's building the base. So if you want to have better sexual intimacy in your relationship, you have to build the base first for it to be sustainable. And again, that's resolving resentments, then rebuilding your friendship. Number two, you have to buy into the value of sexual intimacy. Have you bought into that value? If you're low libido, you may not think it's very valuable. You may think, what's the big fuss? What's the big deal? Why is it such a big topic? I could care less. I could take it or leave it. I've heard a lot of people say that to me through the years who are low libido. But most likely, you're married to someone who's high libido or higher than you. And for that person, sexual intimacy is something that's very important for them to feel loved, for them to feel cared for them to feel connected. And so you want to think about sexual intimacy not as his needs or her needs, but it's for our marriage. Because when we have regular sexual intimacy, that's going to strengthen us. That's going to bond us physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's good for the marriage. If you start thinking about it as a need for one of the partners, then you may have more resistance. You may have more reluctance, because then you may minimize the value of it. It's not just a need. It's the need for the marriage. That's why it's so valuable. So if you're low libido, you may need to spend some time reflecting and maybe even doing research on how sexual intimacy benefits couples. Number three, you need to do a non-sexual and sexual body inventory. Often, we don't quite know where to touch our partner and how to touch our partner. We're guessing. Or it's been so long since we've touched them and they've touched us that we've forgotten how to touch and where to touch. And it can change with time. As you age, as your body changes, certain things feel differently as you change over time yourself. So I recommend starting with a non-sexual body inventory. And what that is you're going to take turns exploring your partner's body, and they're going to explore yours non-sexually initially on all the different ways they can touch each of your body parts. So for example, let's say they start with your feet, and then they're going to experiment with different types of touch on your feet. So maybe they're massaging it firmly. Then maybe they massage it lightly. Then maybe they just give little gentle pinches. Then maybe they give little tickles. Then maybe they give little kisses. And the goal is for you as the receiver to give them feedback so they know which type of touch do you like best on your feet. You may not like to be touched at all on your feet. They don't know. Maybe you like firm massage and that's it. Or maybe you also like gentle pinches. So this is where you're learning. It's a body inventory. And then you're taking notes like, oh, my partner likes it when I give them gentle pinches and firm massage on their feet. Then you move up to their calves. Same thing. I'm going to give a firm massage. How does that feel? Okay, now a light massage. Now light tickles. Now gentle pinches. Now kisses. You can experiment with lots of different types of touch. And you're looking for the types of touch where your partner says, that feels really good. Keep doing that. And then you take a note of it. Okay, on the calves, they like tickles. Okay, then you move up to the thighs. So you keep doing this from the feet all the way up to the head non-sexually. When you're done with that, now you have to do the same thing sexually with sexual organs. So now you're going to experiment touching your partner's sexual organs in different ways. You can start with gently tickling. Then you can start with gentle pinches, if that's relevant. You can start with gentle kisses. You can do just, you know, slow massage. You can experiment with different types of touches in the same way you just were, but now you're doing it with their sexual organs, and likewise, they're going to give you feedback. They're going to tell you what feels good, what does not feel good, and you're going to take notes. Okay, they like it when I touch this way on this part of their body sexually. You're learning. This is not to have sexual intimacy. This is to learn. This is a body inventory because a lot of us don't quite know how to touch our partner and where to touch our partner, non-sexually and sexually. So this is a really important step if you want to spice things up in the bedroom. Number four is discuss the sequence of events sexually that will turn you on and that will turn you off. Have you ever done that with your partner to talk through what turns you on? What's an ideal scenario for you? What would it look like? Take me through scene by scene. What would really rev up your motor sexually? And what would turn you off? What are the types of things that could happen scene by scene that would be a turnoff? Talk about that. You have to learn that about your partner. They need to learn it about you. So for example, one thing that my wife and I had to learn about this is she was raised in Germany. And in Germany, there's lots of nudity, if you don't know that already. People in the saunas, you know, people at these, you know, beaches, they disrobe and everyone goes without clothes. And it's just how it is. It's part of the culture. I was not raised in Germany. And so my preference in the bedroom, and this might be TMI, my preference is a slow disrobe. Slowly disrobing is more of a turn on for me. My wife, because she's raised in this German culture, she disrobes very fast, very quickly. And for me, it's too fast. And so we've had to talk about that. Like, what is a turn on and what is a turn off and vice versa. So she had some things that I was doing that was more of a turn off. And I had to learn what's a turn on for her. So that's the type of information you need to talk about with your partner, scene by scene in the bedroom, what turns you on and what turns you off. You have to learn that content about your partner. Number five is you want to be thoughtful about your partner during the sexual encounter. You have three options during the sexual encounter. Option A is your two eyes out. And that means I'm only thinking on my partner's experience and I'm losing myself because I'm not thinking about what I want. I'm not thinking about what my body is telling me. I'm not thinking about my arousal. I'm only focused on my partner. That's a mistake because you want it to also be focused on you. Otherwise, you're just going to be going through the motions and you're going to just be hoping it's over soon because it's all about your partner and you're not invested in it yourself on any level. You also want to avoid the other extreme, which is two eyes in. That means I'm only thinking about me. I'm only thinking about what I want during the sexual encounter. I'm only thinking about my arousal, my pleasure, what I want to do next. And that's all I'm thinking about. That's two eyes in. And that's also a mistake because on the other side of you is another human being that also has needs, who also has arousal, who also has erogenous zones on their body. Okay. So the goal here is one eye in, one eye out. And what that means is during these sexual encounters with your partner, you need to become mindful. You need to become thoughtful of what am I feeling? What's my sensation? What am I desiring? What's my body telling me? And simultaneously, I'm mindful of my partner. I'm thinking about what they would want, what would feel best to them, because I've already done a body inventory, so I know where to touch them and how. And we've talked through ideal scenarios to turn on instead of turn off. So I'm privy to that content and I'm thinking about that content during our sexual encounters. Now, this doesn't mean you want to get in your head and then you can't, you're not really in the moment anymore, but it does mean you have to become aware. You have to become thoughtful. You have to become mindful where you're thinking about what's my body telling me and what does my partner enjoy? What are their preferences? If you do that, you're going to become a better lover because you're becoming intentional. You're becoming thoughtful. You're thinking, okay? You're not just being self-absorbed and you're not just losing yourself serving, because both of those are potholes. Both of those are gutters. You want to steer clear of that. So that's number five, being thoughtful as a partner during the sexual encounters. Number six, practice saying anticipation phrases. This is a form of dirty talk. And dirty talk often gets a bad rap. And people hear the word or the phrase dirty talk and they're like, oh, no, that's not me. Or I feel uncomfortable with that. Well, here's an option that you may consider if you don't already. I call it anticipation phrases. What it is as you are slowly having foreplay, as you're slowly starting to kiss, as you're slowly building the momentum of the sexual encounter, start thinking about what are you looking forward to next? This may include you're looking forward to seeing a certain part of your partner's body. This may include you're looking forward to touching a section of your partner's body. This might include you're looking forward to being touched or your partner doing something to your body. So you're thinking about, what am I looking forward to? What am I anticipating? What am I having enthusiasm about? What's going to happen next? What is it? And when I start getting in touch with what those impulses are, I say it. And I say phrases like, I can't wait to see, or I can't wait to touch, or I can't wait for you to do X toward me. So you start saying these anticipation phrases of what you're looking forward to doing or seeing on your partner or them doing or seeing on you. And what that does is it builds arousal, because anticipation is one of the most powerful elements of arousal, of we're not quite doing something yet, but I can't wait for it. And when you speak it out, that builds your arousal by speaking it, and it's often very arousing for your partner to hear it. Because then they think, oh, wow, you're looking forward to that, or you can't wait for this. And it adds an element of teasing, an element of anticipation into the encounter, again, which builds arousal. So I encourage you to try that out, because it's not X-rated. It's not vulgar, unless you want it to be. It's just speaking what you're anticipating, and it can be highly arousing. Number seven is change up your activity, your sexual activity, every third time. A lot of couples get into a rut. And if they are having regular sexual intimacy, it's the same thing every time. You touch me here, I touch you there, we roll over, we do this, we do that, then it's done. And it's in our bed every time in our bedroom. So that can get boring, especially if you're higher libido. It can feel like, again, I'm thankful we're doing this, but again, I'm thankful that you're open to this, but again, it can start feeling like that. And it doesn't mean that you're not appreciative of your partner being open to intimacy. It doesn't mean that you're not thankful that they're valuing intimacy. It just means you're starting to feel some boredom. And it's just common. And so it's ideal to change up what you're doing every third time. So think about what that could be. Maybe some low-hanging fruit could be, let's try a different location in the house every third time. Maybe instead of our bedroom, let's try the living room. Maybe instead of our bedroom, let's try the kitchen. Instead of the bedroom, let's try the bathroom or the who knows. Be creative and change it up every third time. Or another way to change it up is, let's try something different. Maybe it's a different position or a different foreplay focus or just something that's different. Maybe wear different clothing, different outfits. You want to add in some variety because that adds in spice, that adds in excitement, and that adds in change. And change is always good. Otherwise, you get into a rut. Number eight, the eighth way to spice things up in the bedroom is you want to process the encounter once it's over. So once you've had sexual intimacy with your partner, what a lot of couples do is they go to sleep, maybe they cuddle for a little bit, maybe they get up and go to the bathroom, who knows? But often they don't reflect and talk about what was that like for you, what we just experienced together. What were the highs? What were the lows? What did you enjoy? What could be better? It's one of the most powerful things to talk about after sexual intimacy because there's so much data. You just had a sexual encounter with your partner. That's incredible. That's amazing. That's wonderful. Don't miss the opportunity to unpack it. You unpack it by dialoguing and talking about, yeah, what did you enjoy about that? See what your partner says. And then you ask, what could have made it better? See what they have to say. And ideally, they're going to ask you the same question. It's amazing what can come out of those comments because when you hear what they enjoyed, that gives you a lot of ideas of what to keep doing. Like, oh, I didn't realize you liked it when I did XYZ, or I didn't realize how much you appreciated this element. Okay, well, that's note to self. Let's make sure we keep doing that. And then when they say what could have made it better, that's really important because now you're taking notes thinking, oh, okay, let me make sure I edit that next time. Make sure I approach it a little differently. Let me be a little more mindful of what my partner just said right there for next time. Because if you can unpack your encounter after every sexual experience, you're going to be continually growing and improving your love life. And that's what you want. You want your love life, your partnership as lovers to be continually getting better over the duration of your relationship. And that's one of the easiest ways to do it. You cuddle, you're close, you know, you're spending that quality time together, and then you're unpacking the experience. What did you enjoy? What could have made that better? Don't get your feelings hurt during this. If your partner says something that could have made it better, be thankful. They're giving you feedback because guess what? They think that whether you're asking and hearing it or not. Isn't it smarter to hear what they have to say than being fearful of what they have to say and not asking? Because now they're just bottling up that feedback and now they're discontent in their love life with you. And so you have to buckle up here and be a little more tough, a little more thick-skinned to get the feedback. And again, this is not to hurt your feelings or to put you down or to say you're a bad lover. No, none of us really know what we're doing in the bedroom, if we're honest. You know, we're experimenting. We're just learning. And so if they give you feedback, be thankful for that feedback. Don't let it hurt your feelings or take it personal. You're learning. You're growing, just like anything else. And you're not going to grow and learn by reading your partner's mind and assuming you know what they're feeling and thinking. Don't be a mind reader. Ask them for feedback, thank them for that feedback, and then make some adjustments. And ideally, they're doing the same. And then you're going to continually be growing your love life for the duration of your relationship. So those are eight ways on how to spice up things in the bedroom. Number one, establish the base of the sexual pyramid. Work through the resentments, then rebuild the friendship. Number two, buy into the value of sexual intimacy. Number three, non-sexual and sexual body inventory. So you're learning what you each enjoy and where. Number four, discuss the sequence of events that are a turn on and a turn off. Number five, be thoughtful as a partner during the sexual encounters by being mindful of both what your body is saying to you and what your partner's preferences are for them. Number six, use anticipation phrases to build arousal. Number seven, change things up every third time. And number eight, process and unpack the experience once it's over. Thank you for listening to the Dr. Wyatt Show. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to leave a comment and I'll respond. If you're listening to the audio version of this, be sure to leave a review so I can hear what you think and what you appreciated. For more support, consider signing up for one of my two signature courses. The one course I provide is ER. ER is a 12-week live course with me, virtual, on how to rebuild your marriage in 90 days. My second signature course I offer is FRCA, and that is for people who want to become a relationship coach. That's also 12 weeks. It's live with me, virtual, And I'm going to teach you in that course everything I know so that you can go out and start helping couples yourself. You can learn more in the description. And remember, your marriage is alive. If you care for it and nurture it, it will grow. If you deprive it and neglect it, it will wilt and die. The choice is up to you. Take care.